Do I have to wait?
Nope.
I'm good. Okay, so this is the Transportation Infrastructure Services Committee meeting for Monday, February 22nd. And we'll just move right into the agenda. The first thing on our agenda is the Public Works Fleet Facilities Tenant Improvement Project, and this is the bid awards. So who's lead us off on this?
I'll take that committee chair. This is Hari Panakanti, Public Works Director. So what we have in front of us are the bid results from the Public Workshops Fleet and Facilities Tenant Improvement Project. On December 7th, during budget discussions, Council has allowed the staff, directed the staff to go get the bids for the tenant improvement. So we did. We went there, and bid opening was on February 4th. And the lowest qualified responsible low bidder is Lincoln Construction, with a bid total of $4,427,221. And that's well below the engineer's estimate of $5,142,515. And so just to kind of capture what we're getting with this $4.427 million for the formerly known Heiser building, we're looking at seismic upgrades, HVAC upgrades, vehicle exhaust, weld exhaust controls, plumbing, electrical, fire protection, staff seating area, and we're replacing some water service for the new pressure, and then providing emergency generator. That's alternate bid item one is also included in it. The bids came quite favorable to include the alternate one. So we're asking the council, the committee, to look at the results and direct us with the next steps. Thank you.
Thank you, Hari. Alrighty then. All right. So I'll start with Councilmember Quinn. Question? Comment? No? Really? No. Okay. Deshaun. Huh. Ms. McLeod.
Just a couple of clarifying questions. So the two lower bids, did I understand that they pulled their bids and that would be MJ Takasaki and Western Ventures?
That is correct, Councilmember.
Okay, and that's what made Lincoln the lowest?
Yeah.
Okay. And if it was in here and I didn't read it, or you said it and I didn't listen, was there any improvement to the office?
Yes. All the inside offices will be improved.
Okay, I heard you say employee sitting area.
Yeah.
I don't know what that means.
Right. Well, that's so we will have basically two different seating areas, Councilmember. One is where the existing offices are, will be used for the facilities technicians and facilities superintendent to sit. We're also going to develop a office setup for the fleet technicians in the middle of the currently the kind of warehouse area, so that the fleet technicians are within reach for all the bays. So they'll be in a sort of a pod. They get out and they attend their cars and they can come back to the seating area.
Is there a low level or layman schematic or drawing that shows how this is going to be when you're done? Could we get a copy of that?
Certainly, Councilmembers. I have a floor plan. I can share that with you. I didn't think I included within this, but I have shared in the last meeting, so I definitely can provide that to you.
Yeah, if you could just email or something, I'd be interested in seeing what we're going to get for the $4 million. So thank you for that work. And then my only other question would be, Steve, I'd love to hear your thoughts on this as a consultant to the council. What is your thoughts on it, and how do you see this compared to traditional bids in this line of bidding?
Well, so Tom, before Steve goes, just I want to build off of something that you highlighted. I think, and then I'll get a sense of how everybody feels about this. So again, sorry, Steve. You know, in the memo, which is why I didn't have questions, it pretty much outlines what's going to be done, right? And including some pieces around offices and interior locker rooms and showers. What would be great is to get a schematic with the highlighted area and specifically have, let's say, these bullet points on the schematic. Not something we've seen before, because we've actually arrived at a place now where we actually have the bids. And so to get to Tom's questions, you know, and I also think it's a way to restart the conversation. This is what the bid provides, because we had some changes in the size of what we said we wanted done. It would be good to start fresh with the floor plan and where stuff is, so we can orient ourselves, but also be able to track with these bullet points. So sorry about building off of what you said, Tom.
No, I think that's good.
I think that's great addition. So thank you, Deshaun. So in reading those bullet points, though, I just didn't pick up that the offices were being done. So thank you, though, for all the clarity here. Steve? I'd love to hear your input.
Yeah, go ahead, Steve.
So this is a terrific bid opening. The market's hungry. The bids were tight. That means the design, the drawings, the documents were good from the architect. And we got great competition. And we're very lucky because 5 of the 7 lowest bidders relied on one plumbing HVAC contractor who pulled their bid from everybody because they made a mistake. And so the first two companies couldn't cover and they had to withdraw. And that's understandable. But Lincoln had an alternate bid that not only could it pull in another company, but it could stand by its bid. So in reality, since the first two were sort of phantom bids, we got the lowest price, well under budget, a company that's well thought of, Seattle School District uses them, UW uses them for this sort of project. They'll pay attention to this project because it's right size for the company. They're not too big. And I think it's a terrific outcome. So I'm very, very pleased about how this worked as a process.
Thank you so much. That's it for me.
Okay. And then I didn't have any questions, but because I think the plan is then to forward this to the next CO, the March 1st. We're going to bypass COW and go straight to a regular council meeting.
It's up to you, committee members. We were just taking that was just one path, and if you guys want us to come back to the next transportation committee, we can come back. We seek direction.
I mean normally it would go to a COW and then it would then go on to a regular meeting. So the next COW, if I'm looking at my calendar right, the next COW is it March? It's March 8th, am
March
I right?
8th. Yeah,
March 8th. And then it would go to the regular meeting on the 15th. When do the bids expire? I mean, I want to make sure that we're timely. I thought I saw that someplace in here.
Okay. Yeah, Justine, do you remember off the top of your head?
I believe it was 60 days?
Okay.
Yeah, so we received them on February 4th. So that would kind of put April 4th roughly.
Okay. So if we did then follow our normal process, which would then forward this to the next COW and then go to the regular meeting from there. Tom and Deshaun, how do you feel about that?
I'm supportive of the process our chair.
Yeah.
And the other thing I would ask, and I like the idea of having a brand new rendering, and like what Councilmember McLeod said and Councilmember Quinn talked about, is highlighting these things on there and having the bullets on that same, whatever you want to call it, blueprint, map, rendering, however it is, so then everybody can be really, really clear that here is where we are. So...
Okay. and here is where the interior offices, and here is the locker rooms, because they were in the bullet. You could see those things were put together. So just as a way to orient us, you know, it's more than aspirational, but it is a kind of fresh start, and kind of and then that way you're not answering the question of, wait, is this the pared down approach?
Yes, because that will go there, and we'll talk about it for like an hour and a half. I'm just being honest.
As I understand it, you want the visual images that go along with the bullets that are in the memo. Is that correct?
Correct. Rather than the same renderings we've seen. I mean, it can, so we really see and highlight, like what Councilman Irwin just said, what these things really look like.
And the plan that pinpoints their location.
Yes.
Right.
Yes, that's key. Okay, so I'm looking at the recommendation. Now, how do my committee, fellow committee members feel about making a recommendation to accept the bids, or do you just want to forward it out?
I'm okay making a recommendation to accept.
Hey, Sean?
I'm sorry, ask the question again.
I said, do you want to just make the recommendation that we will accept the bids? In other words, the committee recommends that to the council that we accept the bid?
Yeah, I think we should say that per our, mm-hmm. you know, one. I mean, maybe we should highlight what we were looking for,
yes.
and the fact that we got that. I mean, this is a time to really orient us on the market.
Right.
We could have hoped that this was here,
right.
and I don't want to necessarily add to the memo, but I just think that's a good context for us all.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree. I agree. And I think that's when this is presented to COW, I think that needs to be highlighted. Okay. All right. Thank you, guys. You guys, staff, got it. Thank you, Steve. It's good to
Thank
see you.
Good to see you.
Take care.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys. All right, so that moves us on to the next item, which is the King County MWPAAC resolution, Water Pollution Abatement Advisory Committee. Who is going to talk about this one? Oh, I know.
That'll be me.
That'll be you. Okay.
So brief. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
So a very brief overview. MUPAC was created by state law as an advisory committee, and there's 36 municipalities within King County that gather and advise King County on anything related to water abatement laws or any projects they have coming up. Pat Broden was the representative for the city, and it has not changed since he left. So this is just looking to designate me as the primary representative, and Brian Still will be the alternate. And we're just asking for that to be approved and to forward it to the consent agenda. If there's any questions, please feel free to ask.
Great. Thank you. Councilmember Quinn, any questions, comments?
I would just say that it's been some time since I don't know whether I've seen this come forward, and if I did, it's been a long time. So I'll ask it just the general question. Does this kind of fall in to the same processes that we have, and are these I know there are two new members. Can you remind me who the previous members were?
Pat Broden, and I believe the previous Public Works Director.
Okay. I wasn't sure if Bob was on. Okay. So great.
Bob, no, yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you, Deshaun. Councilmember McLeod.
No questions.
Nope. And I don't have any questions either. So I think we are all in agreement then that this will go on the March 1st consent agenda. Is that okay with everybody?
Yep. Sorry.
You want to know? What? Yes.
Maybe this question is for Hari. Sometimes the communication around this stuff that also involved pretty large decisions were sometimes insular versus, I mean, I'd be curious to see what your approach is for these two and how they provide feedback not only to this committee but also to the full council. It always felt a little bit like we were getting pretty dated updates in the past. And then maybe it's just because there were personalities that had been doing the job for such a long time. So I thought I would ask that.
Yeah, that's a good question, council member. We can give you a set update like once every 6 months and bring it to you. If there's no real update, we can cancel that, but at least I can put that on the work plan and I can bring that, be proactive. If, given that Adib is new and Brian is also somewhat new in the position, it doesn't hurt for us to hear and be active and say, okay, what's going on? What has been decided? Were there any thorny items? Were there any expensive items that were discussed? So we can definitely bring an update to the committee, and the committee can direct us if this needs to go to the full council discussion.
Yeah, and part of the reason why I asked is that I want to make sure I have the organizations correctly. I think there is a huge discussion around the water plan this year, and I think it's still shaping up, but could be significant depending on how this rolls out because of the it would just really be a good sense around our responsibilities and then thinking about like previous council members and their interest and current council members that are interested in kind of climate change, the impacts, and then getting a real sense of costs associated, how we get to reducing pollution in our sources.
Absolutely.
I think that's good. Okay. Thank you, Shoshan and Hari. And Abdeeb, I will get your name. I will get it. Abdeeb, right? Abdeeb.
Yes.
Like Verna. All righty. Thank you, guys. All right. That moves us on to Surface Water Fund. Stormwater Quality Retrofit Grant Application. I'm going to take this.
Hello. Hi, this is Mike. This is for a stormwater quality outfall retrofit project. We're in 60% design for this, and what this project does is takes four outfalls adjacent to the Green Duwamish River and installs modular wetland units, which are water quality treatment and filtration devices, with the goal of reducing the pollutant load that's being generated on our city streets going into the river. So what this is, this info memo is about is there's a grant from King County, it actually generates their wastewater department called the Waterworks Grant, and part of what they fund is water quality treatment as well as habitat. And so we're hoping to submit a grant application to them that would essentially match the Department of Ecology grant that we want to submit for later this year. In between those two grants, we think that'll fund two of the four outfalls that we're planning on constructing in a two-phase part beginning in 2 years. And so what we're planning on asking the Waterworks grant is for $190,000 to fund this project. And part of that grant, they also really promote community outreach. Sorry about the
it's
bathroom.
It's totally okay. Totally okay.
Hey, we are in a virtual world.
We are.
And you have to be supportive of
yes.
the people around you.
Yes.
And so, trust me, it is a whole different, sorry, Verna. It's a whole different space in how we would normally react, right? If you were on CNN, maybe that'd be an issue. I say, hopefully you can play the background music when you do present to the full council. That would just be great, reminding us the situation we're in right now.
No, it kind of like, oh, there must be littles. I love it.
Thank you for that.
You're all grown up. So anyway, sorry.
Thank you for that. Yeah, my wife and I ended up having to work at the same time today, so I'm juggling. Apologize. Thank you for your patience.
Totally get it. Not a problem.
Okay. I think I kind of finished what I wanted to say, and so we're asking for approval to apply for this grant.
Thank you. All right, Councilmember Quinn.
Well, first of all, you got to do what you got to do. Fill the gap, and so you don't have to apologize to us for that. And my question, actually, I got a couple of target questions, and maybe you can answer them all at the same time. So, being very familiar with some of this work, how do we feel about being eligible for the grant? Is there a narrative that we think could be more responsive this year than last year, than previous years? And then it looks like it's a significant amount, knowing maybe, unless I know differently, I think it was only $500,000 the last time available, and I think we're asking for $189,000. So my first part of my question is this piece around being close to an environmental justice community, having the population that I know that had previously been a targeted piece, and then just with the history of kind of place and kind of pollution and other things, does this create the type of narrative that can make us really competitive for this grant?
Yeah, I think the maximum request is $200,000. So we're approaching the maximum that they'll allow. I think Sequoia is well aligned for this grant and some others. I do feel like there are some things lining up for us around disadvantaged communities, you know, and this grant in particular really wants to see outreach and inclusivity with the community. And so that is an aspect that I'm interested in trying to obtain for this. So thus far, I've made contact with a group called Sustainability Ambassadors, who is working with the Tupelo School District to have environmental science curriculum. And I'm hoping there might be some connection there where they can learn about the water quality work that the city is doing and also the habitat work. I've also been connected now with the Bhutanese Community Center, and maybe there's some opportunity there. And so I do think this grant is kind of well done in the sense that it's really kind of pushes you to go out and make those connections. And I think that's great for Tupelo and for the residents. And so we're trying to craft it that way.
Okay. So I would just say that I'm almost 4 years removed from working in wastewater. And so, but still aware of some of the groups that you talked about. Maybe I would suggest there is a staff person who did some work with Global to Local that might actually be advantageous in helping you do the finishing touches on this grant, which is Naisha Fort Brooks, to help and make it competitive. And I'm really glad to hear about the kind of community outreach and learning opportunities that I think has had fits and starts here. But yet we have this large river and responsibilities associated with that. It's a great educational opportunity.
Thank you, Deshaun. Councilmember McLeod.
A quick question, Mike. So there's two applications you're going to be completing. About how long does it take to complete one of them or two of them? How much staff time is involved?
Each grant's a little different. The Waterworks grant, I'm going to estimate would be on the order of 20 hours, depending on the level of communication and that I need to do as far as outreach. You have to get letters of support and that kind of thing. The ecology grant's a little more involved when I do get around to that, when that one comes available later this year, and that one's exceeding 40 hours, I would estimate.
Okay. And you're looking now for the approval for, let's say, the 20 and the 40 now. You won't be coming back to ask later for the 40-hour or the ecology one,
or will you? And I crafted this info memo basically to ask for approval for the Waterworks grant and for future grants that would fund the construction of this project. The idea would be then just to kind of streamline it a little bit. And so that is part of the approval I'm asking, if you're amenable to that.
Okay. And the ecology grant's the one you really want. The other grant, the King County one, would be grant money to cover the match needed for the ecology grant.
Correct.
Am I understanding that right?
You are, yes.
Okay. But the county one requires a match also of 10%, right?
Correct.
So by going this route here, the total out-of-pocket match that Tukwila comes up with, this is the least. Going this route would be the least we would have to pay.
Yes. That's right.
Okay. I follow. No, I think it's good work, and it's a good request, so I'm in favor. Thank you, Mike.
Yeah, and thank you, Tom. And basically, and the match would come out of, would it come out of the stormwater utility? Is that where, it wouldn't be general fund dollars, wouldn't it be coming out of the utility?
That's correct. We have a CIP for this, utility fund CIP.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, I'm fine with it. Thank you guys for your questions. So I believe you have committee approval to go after the grant. Okay?
Thank you, everybody.
All right. Thank you.
Have a good night. Thanks for your patience.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All righty. So that moves us on to a miscellaneous. I appreciate the snow removal update memoranda in the packet. And the reason why I asked to add this to the agenda is I was getting emails and phone calls from people trying to make their way to the light rail station, either going down Tukwila National Boulevard, either over 518 or coming up on South Center Boulevard. So, you know, and then I get the questions are like, well, what are we responsible for? Who's responsible for the metro station? Who's responsible for the sidewalks? And that kind of started this whole discussion. So, you know, I don't mean for this to be an hour-long conversation, just maybe 15 minutes, 10 minutes maybe, just to get an overview. So, Hari, do you want to give me a quick?
Yeah, yes, council member and committee members. I have the memo that I asked to share. Laurel has put that in the package. So before we go any further on this memo, I want to commend the good job that our public works staff has done. Brian Still, our operations manager, was there two shifts, and it was just really a lot of hard work.
Mm-hmm.
Working 12-hour shifts, I went there in between shift changes, and I could see it in the staff size that after being on that dump truck driver for like 12 hours, they're ready to take rest. So I think all in all, it was an event, but really we did successfully. So with that, I think the memo speaks to a lot of the questions that we council members have asked.
Mm-hmm.
That particular area falls in between SeaTac and Tukwila. So portion of that is in SeaTac, portion of that is in Tukwila. And then TIB, the portion of the TIB that's in Tukwila's control, we are responsible for clearing up that. And we're responsible for controlling the metro bus stops that we currently pick up garbage and stuff, but we're not responsible for that TIB station. So these are just some outlines of where we stand. Every property owner, whether it's residential or commercial, is responsible for clearing the sidewalk in front of his or her property. and it's loosely controlled by local ordinances. And I mentioned that in the memo, and if we have an intention of strengthening that, we could do that by all means. But where we are at right now is, unless it's very hazardous condition and it causes undue harm to people that are walking there, we kind of let the property owner seriously take care of this. With that being said, Tukwila Public Works, we have only taken care of streets, and I think we do a better job than SeaTac and other jurisdictions. And I mean, I don't want to pick on SeaTac, but simply we have more dump trucks than SeaTac, for example, and we do more. We take residential streets. Like, I'm in Tacoma. Tacoma doesn't take care of their residential streets. So in that aspect, we're doing a much fuller effort. But we still do not take the sidewalks under our public works care. We do go around the fire stations and the city facilities that we think that people in distress will need to access. And so we take care of all the fire stations, we take care of the city hall, and any other properties of that nature that we control. But overall, that's where we stand right now.
Yeah, thanks. I just, you know, what I was kind of thinking, you know, we do have, like it points out in the memo, that, you know, we do have a part of our code that addresses hazardous conditions in the right-of-way, you know, and I'm not suggesting that we go and be punitive and, you know, this isn't Boston, this isn't Rochester, New York, where you have, you know, it's a huge hazard. I mean, we don't have these snow events very often. But what I was kind of, you know, and I appreciate this. Public Works did a fabulous job. What I'm thinking is just more, maybe before, I'm thinking two things. I'm thinking kind of like now that the snow is over, kind of, you know, maybe this could be a Hazelnut article. Hey, this is what Public Works does, blah, blah. By the way, I mean, a pandemic is, you know, we're in the middle of a pandemic. Be kind to your neighbor. You know, shovel your driveway kind of a thing, you know, be a good neighbor. And then maybe later on in the year, you know, like when we get towards the end of the year, maybe that could be just another, I'm just talking a little blurb that just be nice and cognizant of it. Because, I mean, I walk a lot and, you know, after the snow, it was kind of funny walking through neighborhoods and around, into the street. And I don't know. What do you guys think, Deshaun and Tom, or have I gone too far? Deshaun. He's giving me the look.
No, I would just say I would think about it going in a different direction. With the pandemic and dollars spent, and I think there was a lot of commentary about what Public Works can do and not do, I think it's an opportunity actually to say, here's what we did with the resources that we got.
There you go.
Here is the opportunity for, in the future when we don't have as many gaps, to have a conversation. But I think it's kind of hard to have that conversation when we have gaps. I mean, I would love for folks to just know that Public Works used the resources that they had and or tracked additional expenditure so we are aware of it and surface it for people. But I think the sidewalk thing is an accessible issue, but I think that's a longer conversation around putting a standard together. I mean, I think that's a longer story about kind of social contract with your neighbors and how we function in Tukwila. I think we broach it and then maybe we engage when we have dollars to go with it about, like, how do we want to, you know, just in lead up. I'm assuming we're not going to have any more snow, and this one we knew was coming
right
well in advance, and we took it seriously, unlike maybe city of Kent and the seriousness associated and he did a good job. And it's also an opportunity to thank the frontline workers,
mm-hmm.
who this is the year that really they should be lifted up. And
yeah.
and said, you know, that they are there. They are. So maybe that would be my angle. So not to just kind of.
No, but that's good. That's kind of what I was trying to say, but not. You always know what I'm trying to say, and I don't come up. I can't say it as eloquently as you can, but that is exactly the point. The point is we had this snow event, and we did a phenomenal job despite the fact that we had less resources than we normally do, and that might be something good to talk about. Because A, we appreciate all the work that was done, and it would be nice to pass that on to the public. Tom, what do you think?
One, I like a committee subject that calls out neighboring cities for underperformance. That's always entertaining. Two, Hari, Brian, you guys did a fantastic job. There were lots of posts on Facebook from different neighborhoods,
mm-hmm.
stating that they were really happy with the service they got from Public Works.
Mm-hmm.
So I say congratulations to you guys. You did a great job. And, you know, if you want to find a way to communicate with the public that, look, here's the requirement per our TMC, and based on that and the available funds, here's how we thought we could best serve the community. And so that's what happened. You're kind of a snow recap. I think that's a great point that Deshaun makes.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, use it as a chance to connect with the community and kind of cement that great feeling they had with how they were served at
mm-hmm.
a trying time. And when the next crisis comes up, you'll be there for them.
Perfect. I like that.
Thank you, Kim. I do have one. Yeah, sorry. Go ahead.
Well, go
I
ahead.
Have one more miscellaneous item.
Oh, okay.
I have two. I mean, if you're done with the snow, I have two new staff members. I wanted to see if I can introduce them.
Sure.
They can turn their camera on. I didn't give them enough notice, probably. But we have Brittany Robinson. She's our grants writer. She started with us February 16th. And we also have Cody Ligue, and he has turned his camera. Cody is the new operations manager that will be taking care of the general fund operations. So we have lined up general fund operations under Cody. That's fleet, facilities, and the street maintenance. Lucky for Cody, snow happened the day before he started. So,
baptism by fire.
So, I think, Cody, you want to say a little bit about where you came from and your other previous job?
Yeah, how are you doing, council members? I'm Cody Gray. I'm from I came from the city of Seattle. I spent the last 15 years over there, and the last 2 years at Luke D. Water and Sewer District as the operations manager. I'm excited to be here at the city of Tukwila, and this is a great opportunity. And kudos to Public Works and Brian Still did an outstanding job coming in over this past weekend. So I think I'm already joining a pretty powerful team. I'm looking forward to bringing my skills and expertise and being a part of the team here. So thank you.
Great.
Thank you, Cody.
Welcome.
So I see Brittany has turned her camera on. Brittany, you want to introduce you. So Brittany is a new grants writer. She's going to bring us a lot of money. That's all I want.
Yes. That's always the goal. So my experience is the last about 7 years that I've been working in the nonprofit world. So I've experience with building grant programs for Seattle Humane Society, Hope Heart Institute, and then also working in transportation and mobility for HopeLink. So I've come from a lot of different fields in nonprofit work, but a lot of experience with development, fundraising, and program management. So I'm excited to be here and thrilled to meet all of you.
Wonderful. Welcome. By the way, this is the fun committee. Sounds like really fun. Okay, Hari, anything else?
That's it. Thank you, committee members.
Okay, Deshaun or Tom, do you have anything that you wanted to add? Okay.
I would just say welcome aboard, and I think you Verna's right. This is a seasoned committee that actually appreciates the work and can also because of our familiarity make this time when you're with us really fun.
Yeah. Thank you. That was a he always puts it way more eloquently than I can. It's like reads my mind. Okay, you guys. Thank you. We'll see you in, I don't know, 45 minutes or so. Take care.
Okay. Thanks,
thank you,
everyone.
Guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.